Hello, and thank you for using the Descriptive Audio Description Service at this production of Back to the Future, the musical, at the Winter Garden Theater. Back to the Future is based on the Universal Pictures Amblin Entertainment film written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. The book is by Bob Gale with music and lyrics by Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard. It is directed by John Rando. Theater description. The Winter Garden Theater, located on Broadway between 50th and 51st Streets, was built in 1896 and converted into a theater in 1911. It has seating for over 1,500 patrons. The box office is on the left side of the outer lobby. The women's bathroom is located on the right side of the inner lobby. The men's room is on the left. At the back of the orchestra is a coat room, a bar, and merchandise stand, as well as accessible devices for pre-recorded audio description, captioning, and hearing enhancement. A set of wide stairs on the left leads one to the mezzanine where there are more bathrooms, another bar, and show merchandise. Synopsis. Welcome to Hill Valley. When Marty McFly finds himself transported back to 1955 in a time machine built by the eccentric scientist Doc Brown, he accidentally changes the course of history. Now he's in a race against time to fix the present, escape the past, and send himself back to the future. Character descriptions. Marty McFly is a 17-year-old high school student. When we first meet him in 1985, he wears a pair of blue jeans, a light-colored checked shirt with suspenders, and a denim jacket under a red down vest. On his feet are a pair of white Nikes with a red swoosh. Marty frequently has his skateboard under his arm or under his feet. When he travels back to 1955, he wears a red and brown suede bomber jacket over a blue and white shirt with suspenders, khaki trousers, and dark high-top Converse sneakers. Dr. Emmett Brown, known as Doc, is in his mid-60s. He is dressed in a white jumpsuit with small red triangles inset at the ankle and dark orange Nike high tops. Around his waist and attached to his belt is a brown leather tool pouch. He wears three watches, two on one wrist and another hanging from his neck. In 1955, he first appears in a pair of black baggy trousers held up with suspenders and a long, shiny, silver-gray plaid robe. Later, he will switch out the robe for a brightly patterned shirt under a tan jacket and a battered Panama hat. Marty's girlfriend, Jennifer, is 17 as well. She wears pale blue jeans, white pointed boots with a stacked heel, and a pale pink denim coat with a raspberry-colored bag slung across her body. George McFly is Marty's father. He is in his late 40s and moves with an awkward, jerky gait, his arms either falling loosely at his sides or jerking away from his body. George has on a pair of gray trousers and a white short-sleeved shirt with a dark tie. Black-framed glasses sit on his nose. In 1955, as a 17-year-old high schooler, he is still awkward and afraid. Then he has on a pair of brown trousers and a short navy jacket over a white shirt. He is almost never without a small spiral notebook. Biff Tannen is a bully in 1985 as well as 1955. In 1985, he wears a dark red shirt under a black and white checked jacket and dark pants. On his feet are a pair of white shoes. In 1955, while in high school with George and Lorraine, he wears dark blue jeans and a red short-sleeved shirt. In 1955, Biff is almost always accompanied by his two sidekick friends. Both are 17 years old and wear blue jeans with short-sleeved shirts. One of the boys wears a pair of cardboard 3D glasses that he never takes off. Lorraine is Marty's mother. She is in her late 40s. She wears a striped button-down shirt over a blue turtleneck and brown trousers. In 1955, at the age of 17, she wears a series of feminine dresses with full skirts nipped in at the waist in pale colors of lavender, blue, and pink. Sometimes she wears a cropped cardigan over her dress and is usually in white ankle socks and flat lace-up shoes. Marty has a brother and a sister, Dave and Linda, both close to Marty in age, perhaps a year or two difference. Dave wears a McDonald's uniform consisting of a red vest and trousers over a brown plaid shirt and a red visor. Linda has on blue trousers and a pink sweatshirt with a pattern of blue triangular shapes. Mr. Strickland is the high school principal in both eras. He is a middle-aged man with a severe expression. He almost never smiles. He wears a gray suit and a red bow tie. In 1985, as well as 1955, is a black man named Goldie Wilson. In 1985, we see him campaigning in the town square for mayor. In 1955, he is an employee at a local diner with a white apron, cap, and broom. There is an ensemble of approximately 15 actors who play students, townspeople, and assorted smaller roles. They are dressed appropriately for the era they are in. While in 1985, jeans, sneakers, and casual clothing is the norm, with some women in exercise gear, shiny tights, and leotards with headbands, when the period switches to 1955, the women wear dresses with full skirts and low heels or flats, and several men wear suits, while the students are variously cheerleaders, athletes in letterman jackets, or boys in jeans and button-down shirts, and girls in dresses with cardigans and flat shoes. Set descriptions. There are several locations in both 1985 and 1955. Most of the sets slide onto the stage, and several take place against a backdrop with minimal furniture. Projections, images, and special effects lighting are employed to create the time travel sequences. We begin in Doc Brown's lab, which resembles an extremely cluttered garage. It is a wooden structure with a pointed roof and a single back wall with a door in the center. It is jam-packed with objects. Clocks in various sizes, ropes, plastic and metal bins, metal cabinets, fans, framed photos, wooden boxes, lamps, and multiple electrical gadgets and devices. On the left is a tall stack of speakers covered with a tarp, a yellow trunk on the floor next to them. Across the room on the right is a tall blue shelving unit placed next to a small wooden table. The lab is almost the same in 1955, although with less clutter and equipment. A movie screen hangs from the wall on the left side, and a battered leather chair has been placed on the right next to a small round table with a lamp. Along the top of the right side wall are four portraits of famous scientists: Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, and Isaac Newton. In both time periods, we are taken to Hill Valley's town square. Along the back is a three-story brick building with columns along the front and the words Department of Social Services chiseled into the front. Two benches have been placed in front of the building at an angle facing the square. At the top of the building is a broken clock stopped at 10:04. In 1955, the building is the same but shiny and new. In 1955, it is a courthouse, and the clock on top is in working condition. Marty's house is a single-level suburban home. A dark wooden shelving unit on the left holds a telephone, some knickknacks, and a vase of flowers in the center. The single window above the sink has a lace curtain, and a pale yellow refrigerator sits on the right. On the freezer are photos and magnets. In the center of the room is a round table covered with a brown checked tablecloth and surrounded by four chairs. The table is set for dinner. Doc and Marty meet in the parking lot of the Twin Pines Mall. This is created by four street lamps, a bright red JCPenney sign along the back, and a rectangular sign low to the ground that says Twin Pine Malls with a digital clock set into it. In 1955, there is also a diner with pale green walls and chrome finishes. A counter on the left with a glass front holds cakes and pies. On the right are a table with two stools. The employees wear white shirts, aprons, and peaked white paper hats. Also in 1955, we see the backyard of Lorraine's house. Only a part of the house will be visible, the top half. It has a pointed roof and a single window to Lorraine's bedroom in the center. To the left is the top of a large tree in full autumn bloom, the leaves orange and yellow. When the house revolves, we will be in Lorraine's exceptionally pink bedroom. A pink-skirted bed has been placed under a window with a pale pink curtain. The wall is papered with pale pink flowers, and the matching vanity and end tables are also pale pink. A hallway in Hill Valley High School is created with a line of blue metal lockers. There is also a school cafeteria with some tables and a lunch lady with a food cart on wheels. To create a classroom, desks with attached chairs and a blackboard are moved in. There are two screens that are used to project images upon and create lighting effects. One along the back, another hanging over the front. They are both transparent and rise and descend depending on the special effect. Right now on the stage before us, the transparent screen is down. Projected on it are the words Back to the Future. Following this screen, text will appear that says, "Please switch off your smartphones when the show starts. They weren't invented in 1985. Proceed? Yes or no?" The next screen says, "No photography during the show. It might interrupt the space-time continuum." The final screen says, "But it is okay to photograph this and tag with hashtag Back to the Future. Proceed? Yes or no?" The screens will repeat this format until the beginning of the show. The side walls of the theater have been covered with a thin grid of lines that resemble somewhat the inner workings of an old computer. They light up in blue or white or green, and sometimes during the show. Back to the Future is approximately 2 hours and 40 minutes long, including one 15-minute intermission. This program will repeat until the start of the show. Thank you, and enjoy Back to the Future.